Welcome, everyone, to the Mile High Collective. I'm your host, Ciante Jamar. On this podcast, our goal is to build a community of talent, such as but not limited to artists, musicians, producers, and promoters, using the podcast to interview and showcase up-and-coming talent or events in the Denver entertainment industry. Don't miss out on our next networking event, January 25th at 1UP South Denver, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Coming to you from Starbucks in Centennial, Colorado. Today we have an interview with Greybeard. He is one of Denver's many producers and lyricists making their imprint known through the music and local involvement in the underground scene. So say what's up to the people, Grey.
What's up? Good to be here. Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming, brother. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I know you got a lot of stuff going on this year, so just like I do, but much appreciated. You having a good year so far?
So far, so good, yeah.
Good. So let's just dive right in, man. Right now, I noticed that Denver is kind of a real eclectic, real big in music as far as underground music. There's not a lot of artists coming out of here that I know of personally who are mainstream, you know, big known artists. Do you know anybody or do you fuck with anybody right now that's from Denver that's, you know, making that next step?
I'm trying to set something up with Top Flight Empire. So I'm supposed to have a meeting with them and hash some stuff out. I think they're pretty big. I mean, that's the biggest, like, people I know out here as far as, like, I mean, there's bigger people. I'm not good at names, but, yeah, I mean, Top Flight's probably, like, the biggest people that I fuck with. But there's all kinds of people out here, I mean, on every level, so, and I fuck with everybody, so, yeah, but that would probably be, like, the biggest thing I got, you know, going right now.
Dope. What's the biggest problem you've had, you know, to overcome so far in this underground game?
Selling tickets is super hard, man, like, especially if you have, like, a Thursday show or something like that, and then even, like, I do so many shows that I find it, I do a lot of free shows, and so if I'm trying to sell tickets to people, like, every month, it kind of doesn't work out for me. So at this point, I'm kind of pulling back on the number of shows that I'm doing around here locally so that I can just do bigger shows, probably with less frequency throughout the year.
Respect. What do you enjoy most about being a, you know, hip-hop artist, and what do you hate most?
I enjoy making the music the most, man, for real. Like, I could do that all day, every day. What do I hate? I don't hate anything, man. I mean, if it's something that's hard or whatever, it's gonna be hard. There's gonna be hard situations and shit, and you just gotta take it as, like, a learning lesson, you know? Like, and so I don't really spend a lot of time on things, you know. If you hate something, then you have feelings for that, you know what I'm saying? And so if I don't like something, I ignore it completely, and it doesn't take any space in my head or my heart or anything. So I don't really fuck with hate, you know what I'm saying, in general.
Got you. If you could change anything about the industry right now, what would it be?
Well, I mean, locally, I would say I wish that there was an outlet where we could get heard in larger platforms. And maybe there is, and I'm just not big enough to be at that spot yet. I just wish that there was more of a structure, more of a clear road to success in the music industry. I mean, because you're basically... You figure out you want to be a rapper, and you just kind of step out into the ocean and learn how to swim. And if you don't learn how to swim, you know, like, you're not going to last very long. So, yeah. And then that's the thing is, like, as you go on, it doesn't become easier. Like, it seems like it gets harder. As you get bigger, it gets harder, and you got to deal with more bullshit. Like, but that's, you know, it's all part of the game. It's all a learning lesson, you know, like, that's how I take it.
Nice. So how long have you been doing music, and what first got you into it?
I've been doing music probably since, I don't know, man. I mean, I had a guitar when I was a kid. I never really learned how to play it, but I always had, like, instruments around the house. Like, my brother had a drum set. So I've always like been around music. My grandfather used to play guitar and like sing and stuff. He was really good. But then as far as like hip hop, I mean, I was in high school in the 80s, you know, I graduated in 1990. So like when the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J and all that East Coast stuff hit, when it changed from, you know, what Run DMC was doing, like that basic strip down, it's just a beat, you know? And then it kind of moved into like, well, now we're going to put samples or we're going to put music on top of that, but keep it simple. You know, like the Beastie Boys' first album, LL Cool J's first album, like all that stuff. When I heard that, like I was hooked. And so that was probably like 88. And so at that point, I started writing rhymes. I was still in high school. And I've been, you know, but even before then, I was writing songs, you know, because I was in bands and stuff, you know. So it's like I've just always done it. Yeah, I mean, it's just always been a part of me. But as far as rapping and stuff, like, it would probably be, like, back in 88, I started writing rhymes. And then in probably 90, 91, I bought my first drum machine and stole a keyboard from my girlfriend and started making beats. And so I've been making beats probably since 90, 91. So
I'm sure she wasn't happy about that.
Well, you know. It was like we broke up and I just kept it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I actively stole it from her. It was just, that's how it worked out.
All right. So who would you say are some of your major influences? You kind of mentioned a couple, but who are some of the other ones that you say would have influenced your music?
Probably the biggest one is KRS-One. I've seen a lot of his shows, and I mean not necessarily for his studio albums, but for his songs, you know, like, because you hear, like, songs from By All Means Necessary on the album, and they're kind of like, eh, you know what I'm saying? But if you go see that shit live, it's a whole nother thing. And then, so that's, like, that's why I admire him, because he has this dope live show, like, every time I've seen him. And I've seen him in spots where it's been, like, 20 people, you know? And he doesn't give a fuck. It's still a good show. Everyone still has a good time, and he knows how to rock a crowd, and that to me is the pinnacle of being an MC, is being able to, you know, rock a crowd, no matter, you know, how many people are there, you know, because, you know, I've done shows with five people there, you know what I'm saying, and it's a part of coming up as an artist, but the thing is, like, you can never be like, oh, there's only five people here, so I'm just fuck this place, you know, like. I feel like you got to give it all every time you're in front of people. You're representing yourself and your brand and your name and everything, so you better leave a good impression.
So how would you describe the music that you typically create?
It gets called boom bap a lot by other people. But what I like to say is that I love hip-hop and I am hip-hop. And, like, this is my expression of it, and this is just how it comes out. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I mean, if people categorize me, it's mostly, like, hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? Like, boom-bap type shit. And that's really what I like, you know, like, I mean, I'll do a trap beat, too. You know, I don't like, discriminate against beats. I love all beats. Yeah, I mean, what I really like is that grimy boom bap shit with a hard ass beat in it and a crazy sample that sounds like someone's about to die, you know, like, that's my shit, like, that's what I like.
What is your creative process like
as far as beats or rhymes?
Let's go with rhymes first.
So rhymes, I'll typically write to the beat, because that's really what I like to catch the vibe on, is like hear what the beat is kind of like telling me, or like what I hear in there, like what should be in there that's missing, and then that's what I'll add.
Okay.
But yeah, typically I'll write to the beat. It's very rare that I'll write a rhyme and then put it on a beat that, you know what I'm saying, like without, yeah, mostly it's I'll write to the beat and take it from there. Like whatever the beat is telling me is what the song is going to be about, basically.
So what would you say about production? What's your creative process when it comes to production?
Production's kind of all over the place. Like sometimes I'll start with the beat, sometimes I'll start with a sample, sometimes I'll just play a melody and build off of that. So yeah, that's really all over the place. But I mean, I got, you know, a spot, I got a desk where I sit down and I try to do it every day. I try to make a beat, you know, and you know, 90% of them are not up to par, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it takes, you know, a lot of work to get to those gems, and but they're out there. That's the thing, is like you'll think that, you know, damn, it's been like 5 days, you know, and like nothing's really, I'm not really feeling anything, and then boom, you'll get like 4 or 5 in a row, you know what I'm saying? It's just like you just gotta keep like swinging the hammer, you know, like just keep working at it, you know? Yeah.
So right now, you've worked with a lot of different people out of Denver, Colorado, but who would you like to collaborate with? Famous or out of the state or out of the country? Like anybody that you can name right now, who would you want to collaborate with?
Man, that's a interesting question. I don't know, man. I don't, like, the thing with me is, like, I'm not starstruck by anybody, you know? Like, I feel like even someone like KRS is, like, he's doing this like what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? So, like, but, you know, and then again, like you say, if DJ Premier came up to me and said, I got a beat for you, I'm jumping on, like, I'm not even a breathe, I'm saying yes, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, same with, like, KRS-One. Like, you know, if I had a chance to jump on some with him, I'd be scared to death. You know, like I'd be scared to death, but I would do it, you know, like, because it's usually the times when you're scared and you feel like you're not good enough is when you stretch and you come out with that crazy dope shit, man. So like, it's I always want to work with people who kind of scare me, you know what I'm saying? Like someone I'm not sure that I'm going to be better than, you know what I'm saying? Because I think all MCs are, like, naturally very competitive. It's part of the culture, you know what I'm saying? It's part of being an MC. So, I mean, we're always trying to outshine each other, and not in a bad way, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got love for you. If I'm on a song with you, I got love for you, and it's all good, you know, but I'm going to try to outshine you, you know? Like, and you're going to try to outshine me, and it's like a understood type thing, you know? Like, I always look at it like fighting, like even doing stage shows and stuff. Like, I'm nervous the whole day, you know, like, and I'm waiting for that to happen, and once I walk into the place, I'm good, you know, and all the nerves go away, and I'm good, you know, and I'm ready to go.
I like that. I like that. So what is a message that you would like to send to your fans or let them know about you as an artist?
I just think what I try to do is keep everything 100% authentic. And so, you know, if you're listening to Greybeard, a beat, a rhyme or whatever, if you see me, I'm always going to be like me. I'm not trying to conform into anything or make some certain type of sound. I'm 100% just doing me. And then so if you fucking with Greybeard, like, you're getting the real authentic shit, real hip hop.
What's your favorite song to perform? Your favorite song to perform?
I don't know. I like, so probably right now it's, I did a collaboration with Fourth Eye. He's a producer out here in Denver. I think it's called Walking. We haven't really figured out a title or anything on it yet, but it's because it's new, you know, and so every time I do it, I'm kind of scared that I'm going to forget the words. Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, like, I like to be uncomfortable. And that's what keeps shit fresh for me, you know?
All right, we're going to take this interview to a little bit of a left right now. Some off-the-book questions. So these aren't particularly related to hip-hop or music in general, just stuff people might want to know about you. So what is the most useless talent you have? The most useless talent?
Being able to work for someone else.
I think we all have that one. Well, some of us, I will say that. Some of us have that one. Do you sing in the shower? And if so, what songs?
Most definitely. It's a new song every morning. I don't know where they come from. Before I came over here, I was singing Bruce Springsteen. I don't know how that song popped in my head. It was just I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen. I don't know, you know, just weird shit pops in my head. It's...
What is the most trouble you've ever gotten into?
Like legally or like?
You could tell that line. You could tell that line.
All right, so this isn't even legal, but I was scared shitless. My parents used to go away on trips, and they're like strict Mormons, no drinking, no smoking, no nothing, you know, and obviously I'm nothing like that. And I had just gotten out of high school, and it was just not cool to have any of that in the house, you know. And so while they were gone, you know, I was having parties at the crib, and they came back early, and there was beer in the fridge. And I used to take the bus everywhere, so I was walking home, and as I got to my house, I saw their car there, and I was like, fuck that, I'm not going in. Man, my dad was the type of dude that would beat the you know what I'm saying? Like, he would fuck you up, man. So I was that scared that I spent that whole night just, like, out on the streets, like, at a donut shop, and then I tried to get some sleep at the park, you know what I'm saying? But there was, like, coyotes running up on me and shit at the park, so, like, I didn't really get any sleep, you know what I'm saying? But that was, like, probably, like, the scariest thing. I was so scared of my dad, man, and, like, to come home and see them there and know that that was in the fridge, man, I was like, nah, I'm not coming home, man.
And then, what is something you would like your fans to know about you? I think we kind of touched on it, that you, but is there anything else that you would say, like, just like off the book, off the music, something else just weird and wacky that you would want them to know about you?
Well, you know what? I kind of stopped making hip hop. Well, I can't say that. I got into making songs because about 7 or 8 years ago, I discovered Nirvana. I'm like a super late bloomer when it comes to Nirvana, but man, they blew my mind. Like, and then I got into Foo Fighters, you know, and then I got into Crooked Vultures and Queens of the Stone Age. And I really just went down that road for like a year or two, and I started making songs. So there's songs out there that I've made that are kind of floating around. If you know how to look for them, you can find them.
What is next for Greybeard?
World domination.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
Nah, man, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out, you know. Like I said, we're going to try to do bigger shows, try to get in front of more people this year. But that was the goal last year, you know what I'm saying? And so, really, my ultimate goal is to retire off of this shit and to do what I want every day when I wake up and not have to go work for someone else. I'm going to work for me, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to create wealth for me and my children, you know what I'm saying? And that's the ultimate goal. And I want to do it doing something I love, and I don't want to be fucking people over, and I don't want to be a shady motherfucker. I want to do it like straight up. I'm a man to man type shit, and give my shit, and then I'm good, you know? Like, that's what I want to do. So I'm working towards that every day. Every day I try to take a little tiny step towards that big ass goal, you know? Like, here we are.
All right, so my last question of the night. Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Like any upcoming shows or anything like that?
I would definitely encourage everyone to visit my website, which is graybeardhiphop.com. My music streams on Spotify and everywhere. So check that out. My last album was an EP called Gloomy Gray, produced completely by Gloomy Sunday.
And it was a slap, guys. Go get that shit.
Thank you. And then my next show would be January 18th. At Bar Red on Colfax. Those are always really good shows. And if you're an MC, you can show up because they always do a cipher and they pass around the mic. It's really cool, like a real hip-hop type shit. So you can catch me there.
Dope. Well, I want to thank you for coming out today, Gray. Appreciate your time. I will definitely be at that show on the 18th since they're going to be passing around a mic. I can't miss that opportunity to catch that mic for just a second. So thank you guys for listening to the Mile High Collective. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Peace. Don't miss out on our next networking event, January 25th at 1UP South Denver from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. We will have a $2 raffle for a prize valued at $100, including studio time and some features from some friends of mine. RSVP on Facebook today at facebook.com/SiyanteJamar.